I'm not sure if this is true or not, but I did read it on the internet, so it must be. It is a story about the language of the Maori people of New Zealand. Now, you have to stay with me for just a minute. Supposedly, in their language, when one speaks of the past, it's referred to as the days in front. And the future is referred to as the days behind. The very opposite of how we define the past and the future. But here's the really interesting part. They do it that way because the Maori people see themselves as backing into the future. And they do have a point. It's kind of like sitting in the back seat of a station wagon. We can easily see what's behind us, but it takes some effort to see what's ahead of us. Don't you love that understanding? And can you see how very true that can be? We can see the past, but we can't always see what the future might bring. We can sometimes make educated guesses, and sometimes we will be right about the future, but the reality is we can't see very clearly into the future. Whether it's predicting the course of a storm or figuring out who's going to win an election or picking the winning lottery numbers, all we can do is make predictions, sometimes using probabilities, which really means all we can do is guess. And that's unnerving. That's unnerving if you think about it, because we human beings like to be in control. So faced with uncertainty, I think that we as people of faith like to find some comfort that someone we trust is at the wheel of that station wagon. Someone is driving this thing, and it's someone who knows where we're going. And so we tell ourselves that while we can't always be in control, that wherever we're going is a part of God's plan. God is in charge, and God is a good driver, so we can relax and enjoy the ride and the view out the back window. And I think since we can't know the future and all we can really do is interpret the past, the idea of God's plan has become an integral part of our lives of faith. But should it? It's God's plan. How often have you heard those words? How often have you said them? And how often are those words used when no other words seem adequate and no other explanation seems sufficient? Jesus knew questions like this were on people's minds when they came to tell him horrible news. Pontius Pilate had slaughtered a bunch of people who were actually worshiping God. Did they do anything to deserve it? Was it part of a plan? No, Jesus says. A great tower falls and people die because they were at the wrong place at the wrong time. Is it because they were sinners? No, Jesus says. And the question for people of that time is really not that different from for people of our time. It's a question, is God somehow keeping track in some gold leaf ledger of who's been naughty and nice, and whether to respond with punishment or reward? And the answer is no. But it's a persistent question. It always has been. And it goes with a persistent assumption that somehow what people get in life is what they deserve. There has to be a connection between good or bad things that happen in our lives. It has to be part of a plan. That's only fair. But Jesus says, no, that's not how it works. And for us, any notion that only good things happen to good people should have been put to rest when Jesus was nailed to the cross. Our faith is no magic protection against tragedy. Granted, there is sometimes a cause and effect relationship as a result of some wrong or some bad decision we've made. But the hard part is when we've kept our end of the bargain. And still, we suffer, or things aren't fair. And in today's gospel, I think Jesus is trying to remind us that faith isn't about finding a way around pain and tragedy. Instead, it's about finding a way through pain and tragedy. And maybe we can find some comfort in having a God who we know loves us and thinking it must all be part of a plan. But Jesus says, no, that's not how it works. And, by the way, unless you repent, you'll all perish as they did. Well, that's not helpful. For me, that seems to contradict the whole point Jesus has been making. What kind of reply is that, Jesus? Repent of what? Well, for me, that answer is pretty easy. Repent. It's a word you cannot avoid during Lent. Repent. Stop trying to find a connection between someone else's sin and concentrate on your own need for change. Repent. Don't concentrate on whose fault it is or even try to explain it in hopes we can stop it. And realize how distracted we become when we ask the wrong questions. Repent. Do not waste a moment trying to figure out the why, but instead become people who aren't distracted by the sins of another and instead focus on our own journey with God. Frederick Buechner once said that repentance is not looking into the past and saying, I'm sorry. Repentance is looking into the future and saying, wow, that future that sometimes we seem to be backing into. I believe in our gospel lesson, Jesus is telling us that life is not easy. It is full of challenge and sorrow and pain. It's full of mystery and things we struggle to understand. And throughout it all, we may be tempted to ascribe everything to a plan in order to make us feel better about knowing that someone is in control. But I don't think that's the way God works, because God doesn't seek to be in control of us. God seeks to set us free, to repent. To repent and literally turn from fear to faith, from despair to hope, from sin to grace, from this world to God's kingdom. And it's in that place where when we cry out for God to do something, we might find ourselves to be God's answer. I've heard it said that today's gospel is not meant to aid reason, but to disarm it. And the truth is that we human beings who occupy this earth live on an enormous ball of water suspended into space that circles around a huge ball of fire. And sometimes things just happen that are not a part of a divine plan. But on the other hand, every one of us in this room knows that God is no innocent bystander in our lives. Each one of us has been touched by his gentle and sometimes forceful hand. So, which is it? What's the answer? How does it all work? I don't know. And maybe that's the point. God's plan isn't dominance over everything that happens, but rather infinite mercy. It's not about destruction and death. It's about healing and resurrection. It's not about being some master chess player, because God's not removed from the suffering of the world. God is found in the middle of it. And Lent is our time to acknowledge that and find in ourselves the kind of repentance that when the world seems dark, we can find some light. When our lives lose meaning, we can find purpose. When all seems wrong, we can find hope. And when all seems lost, we discover ourselves found. My friends, life is short. Don't be distracted by the wrong questions. And don't be disappointed if Jesus asks you to love God more than you love answers. That doesn't ease the pain of life. But as a sometimes barren and broken fig tree, that's gospel enough for me. God love you. Amen.